I think Tim Stout on Sports is standing by for the game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing. You can hear Timmy weekday mornings at 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Also, the Huge Show weeknights, 6 p.m., tape delayed in the Lansing area on the game, 7:30 a.m. How you doing, Timmy?
Well, I would think in the Lions front office, if the word gets around, is, you know, if you check this out with Huge, because if he finds out that you guys are going to make this trade, he's all done and then we're all done. Something like that.
You know what will happen? They're going to think they're getting a steal. They're going to do what a lot of teams do, that you can resurrect this guy. And I just step back and say, if the Dolphins see already that he's not their future, why would any other team look at him outside of the fact that they're desperate?
But I do think, Bill, there's going to be a quarterback dilemma at the end of this season, because this season's gone, but the end of this season compared to earlier this year when they had a 12th-year quarterback, whatever you thought of him, I think their problems are going to be just that much more exaggerated by the end of this season, and figuring it out next year is going to even be tougher. You know, it's one thing to get a cornerback. It's another thing to get a right tackle. Getting a quarterback in the NFL you can win with, when you look at where these guys are, I wouldn't want to have to make that decision, believe me.
I had no issues with Stafford. No issues at all. So he's done, and he moved on. I've never had a bad word to say about the guy. Right. But the Tua thing, here's where they're at. And this is where the franchise could be stuck. And I mean that you had a shot when you were drafting number three, that Herbert, or at the time, some Lions fans were pushing for Tua, but Herbert, you could see, was more of the future prototype NFL quarterback, and he's shown that with the Chargers. Instead, Patricia and Quinn are coaching for and GMing for their future. They go with a cornerback, thinking this will be their shutdown corner. Okuda was a bust, and nothing against his Achilles injury, but the guy is never going to be a shutdown corner. It was a wasted number three pick. Lions could have had Herbert being tutored by Stafford, and then could have had 1 or 2 years with Stafford, and then Stafford's traded, and you move on. Instead, you get Goff, who I think is serviceable enough to get to that 9-7 mark one day with the Lions. It won't be this year. It could be next year. Right, I think he's fine to be 8-8, 500. Well, you play 17 now. 8-9, 9-8 would be the number. But now, what's your future at quarterback? So if you go 0-17, there is no franchise quarterback right now in college football.
Yeah, that's the problem. I agree with you. I think that's a problem. I mean, that's why hindsight's 20/20 with all this stuff. But you know, I thought, you know, are you going to draft a quarterback next year? Because if they want to make a move, I don't know. Maybe you should have been the general manager, because I think it's an issue for them moving forward. I'm not convinced they've got their problem solved. So
no, I agree. You know, the one thing I said yesterday when the story first came out about the five possible destinations for Tua, the story I read at CBSSports.com, Tim, I said if Deshaun Watson has his issues behind him, if the 20-something allegations, civil lawsuits, whatever they are, if it's behind him, I would trade the next two first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, and I would build around him for the future, but you can't take the baggage. And the question is, here's where you're the Lions. You're stuck because you are not a free agent destination for high-profile players in the NFL. You're not.
Right. I agree.
So what do you do now? What's your future at quarterback? I think they're not going to eat that Goff money for next year. He's a two-year guy. So my guess is their plan is, okay, we're going to use one of those, you know, whatever the pick is from the Niners or from the Rams, wherever they end up, that's going to be the quarterback pick for them. That's and they're going to go a defender, somebody a speed rusher, somebody on the edge, wherever they're picking, 1 through 5 or 6, depending if they win 2, 3, 4 games. And then they're going to hope that guy can sit for a year, be tutored, and then he's the guy and the golf deal's done after next season, and that's your future. Man, I find that to be really risky in the NFL.
Yeah, I hear you. That's why I listen every day, because it's the only place I can get this stuff.
I know, man, the only place. It's like you can't get it anywhere in Lansing. You can get pizza at 300 places or a sub, or you got bars every other block. in a college town. So what's it like? I guess it'll ramp up on Friday, but I assume East Lansing's going to be crazy. And what's going to happen? Because I wonder, obviously, if the Spartan Nation celebrates that victory, it's going to be one of the greatest weekends they've ever had as a football fan base. If they lose, it's not the end of the world. A loss for Michigan is more than Michigan State. But just breaking down these teams, Tim, who do you think has the major advantage going into that game, Michigan or MSU?
Well, I think it's tough to determine that, Bill, for a variety of reasons, just simply because they both look like they've kind of gone somewhat the same path to get to where they are. I would say of the 14 games that the two of them have combined to play, in my mind, the most impressive two, with all due respect to all the other wins, is Michigan's back-to-back road triumphs at Wisconsin and Nebraska, especially at Wisconsin, because I don't think many people gave them a shot when they were 4-0 that they were going to go win at mighty Wisconsin. And not only did they win, they blew them out. It was really no game whatsoever. If Michigan plays and Nebraska on the second week, you knew that was going to be tough. You just knew it was going to be tough. I think they got a break along the way to win that, but you know, you need that. State's had a couple breaks themselves. I think Michigan State's going to have to play considerably better than what it did at Indiana. I heard you say yesterday, because I listen every day, something to the effect of you thought Michigan's offense is ahead of Michigan State's. I disagree with that. I think Michigan State's offense is fragile. It got one touchdown against Indiana, who just gave up every touchdown on every series every time Ohio State wanted to score on Saturday. And I think the Rutgers game, while that was an impressive win, it was essentially four big plays that they made. And I don't think you can make four plays like that on Michigan's defense. And then in the in the other games, I think they have taken advantage of the breaks they've had and have not squandered them. Now, the thing State does that impresses me, they have not made a lot of the dumb mistakes they've made in years past. They haven't had a lot of needless penalties, some, but not a lot. They haven't turned the ball over very often. They have had a penchant to make big plays deep, but can they make big plays deep against Michigan the way they made big plays deep against Rutgers? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. They are playing at home. They are excited. I think the entire game is going to come down to one fact. Michigan is going to try to run the ball and keep State's offense off the field and keep the clock running. I think that's Michigan's identity. It's been successful so far. Michigan's got two backs to do it, three if you include McCarthy, because when he comes in, he gives them another element as well, and he's clearly going to play. If Michigan can somehow run with any kind of a semblance of success that it had in the first seven games, then I think Michigan, it's understandable to me why Michigan's a 4.5-point favorite. Michigan has not turned the ball over. Is that going to continue? And on Michigan State's case, now you got to remember here, Bill, I mean, it's still fresh in my mind is that second half against Nebraska when Michigan State won the game without getting a first down, which tells me that when you're 7-0, you must be making some big plays. And this clearly is a team that's capable of making big plays. So if it's a fourth quarter game and they haven't moved it anywhere, they might make a big play. They might run a punt back. They might get a turnover. They might have a long run, whatever the case may be. I think it'll be a fourth quarter game. I think it'll go down to the end. And the way I explain it to people is I understand why Michigan's a 4.5-point favorite, if that makes any sense.
Tim Stout makes sense every day on the radio, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on the game, 7:30 a.m. in Lansing. You can hear the huge show weeknights, tape delayed, 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. on the game. And also you see Tim on TV and in the Lansing State Journal. Timmy, enjoy the game. We'll talk next week. Look back at it.
Absolutely, Bill. Have a great week. Keep up the good work on the show. Tell Ballas he's my favorite analyst you got, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Tim Stout from Stout on Sports on the game, 7:30 a.m., joining us on the Meyer guest line. And Meyer, proud to be a longtime partner of both Michigan and Michigan State Athletics.